variances from the front yard setback requirements for proposed structures. Section 115-42 and 115-182 of the Sussex County zoning code. The property is located on the southeast side of Pine Needle Drive within the Pine Crest Terrace subdivision. The 911 address is 30319 Pine Needle Drive in Ocean View. The zoning district is GR. The tax map is District 134, map 9, parcel 109. Here you have six letters of support, three letters of opposition, and zero mail return. And the applicant is seeking a 15-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for proposed dwelling.
Is the applicant present?
Here.
He can come forward and just one.
Yep.
Mr. Sharp will swear you in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Michael J. Mooney, 1721 Gunning Drive, Wilmington, Delaware, 19803.
Robin Mooney, same address.
And you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes.
Thank you. And Ms. Norwood, I just want to confirm, you said it was a 15-foot variance for the dwelling. Is that right?
Proposed dwelling and front steps, I believe.
Yeah, because it looks like there might be a dwelling or a sketch. Yeah, and I don't, did we get firm numbers, do you know, as far as what they would be?
Well, speaking with the applicant and their architects, they're not 100% sure on the final product. They're trying to get as close to making it meet the 15-foot building from there.
Okay, because it just looked, from the drawing, it looked like.
But I think everything would meet at the 15.
Okay, all right. We may need to, we'll find out a little more.
Yeah, I think you can.
Yeah, the existing structure, as you can see, this cul-de-sac circle, that's been there since probably the beginning. We've been down on this street since 2006. We bought this property in 2019 with the idea that we were going to tear the building down and build a house. We want to, you know, retire down here eventually, down with the Wilmington. So what, basically what I'm seeking is, what we're seeking is, you see that cul-de-sac? That's our driveway on the one side of the property. It used to be two lots, and then they collapsed it into one lot. So in essence, if you look at that line straight, you know, if that would go straight down the property line, that would be a 30-foot setback where the 15-foot setback from the cul-de-sac is, if that makes sense. Where that circle is, if you go 15 feet back from that circle point, which is the property line as drawn, and if you draw a straight line going pretty much north, it would all be behind the 30-foot original setback from the property line. So that's why it's caused me hardship. And the other piece is, back behind that, we had literally loaned 50 feet, 48 feet into the water, but I can't build in the water. So if you push it back 15 or 30 feet from the cul-de-sac, that gives us on that one, the most southern part lot, it's like a 20-foot length of a house you can build with the 10 feet setback from the canal. And that's why it's causing a hardship to build on that lot. So if you envision.
We just want it to be in line with all the neighbors. If that line went straight, we wouldn't be here today.
Back in front of the whole property, if you can see, that would be one square, if that makes sense.
But why it dips in like that doesn't make any sense, because in the 16 years we've lived on the street, that there was never a turnaround there.
Yeah, and we've talked to a couple of neighbors that have been there a few decades, and they never recall a cul-de-sac ever being there. So that's.
And 30 feet from the circular line in the structure that's there now, the house that we currently live in, 30 feet would be in the middle of the living room.
Yeah, you can basically come back 30 feet from that cul-de-sac line, and you could cut that one structure in half, and that's where the property would start. And if you look back to the right, in the back of the canal, there's no space there. So that's causing a hardship to try to, you know, draw it. So I'm just, we just want to get a 15 setback so we can move it.
So then basically that line is straight, and we're.
If you have a straight line, then everything will be within that 30-foot setback from that property line. So that's all we're asking for. So.
Does that make sense?
So that cul-de-sac is not there?
No.
No, that's.
That's our grass.
And that's our.
Our mailbox is there. That's our driveway.
And that's our ramp. And our mailbox is on the street.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been like that forever.
Well, you can see it's grass in our driveway.
Ms. Norwood, can I ask you a favor? Can we turn some lights on? It looks like they're in the dark.
I'm good.
There we go.
Hello. So again, that's, that was like that when we bought it. And again, our goal is to, you know, build down here and retire down here, hopefully sooner than later, right? That's the whole, the plan. And if I go, again, if I go 30 feet from that cul-de-sac back, it just, it squanches that whole side, whereas if I just had a straight line coming down there, the whole thing, the whole building, proposed structure would be within that 30-foot setback, right? And that, that cul-de-sac, I don't, you know.
And the drawing that Greg drew for us to submit here, we didn't want to spend the money on having an architect draw and us spend the time and not know if we were going to be able to get this setback or not. So what he did for us was draw to scale something similar of where we would like to put the structure.
Right.
So it's not exactly what's going to be built, it just is where we would like to build it.
So ma'am, the survey with that, you turned into a safe plan, who actually did the hand drawing on that?
That was Greg. Greg Hastings?
The architect.
Local architect of Minnesota Review. Yes.
So if we were to grant your variance, whatever final design we come up with, then you're going to have to abide by that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It may not look exactly like what you're proposing here because you don't have a final design.
Right. The goal is, once I get that approval for the 15-foot setback from that cul-de-sac, then we'll start hard, you know, designing with him on a weekly basis. You know, that takes 2 to 3 months. It's a pretty big project for us.
Just looking at this proposed idea you're giving us here, is the idea that you're trying to design your house around that curve, is that why it's...
Well,
no, I don't know why he did it like that.
Well, yeah, he again, this was like, we've met with him twice. And after the second time I emailed, I want to see if I can get this variance, number one, because once I have that, or if I don't get it, then I have to make decisions, right? I didn't want to invest a lot of time and money.
We also don't want it to look like a box. So, I see what you're looking at.
I looked at it saying, if I could get this setback 15 foot, and basically from that cul-de-sac, then we can start the design process in terms of what we could build.
It's sort of a chicken or the egg problem.
Yes.
We want to know what we're approving before we approve it, too.
So...
Right, okay. So what you would be approving is something that could be built where these walls are.
So yeah, that's the basic.
What it looks like from the outside.
Setback. I mean, we're not. Again, it's and we have some commentary on some of the opposition letters that we'd like to address, maybe. But we're planning on being on stilts, right, and then having first floor and second floor, right, on pylon type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the proposal we're looking to do.
Parking's not a problem.
So, you know, one of the concerns was parking. You know, we'll be able to park 15 cars underneath the house. So that, you know, that's kind of the plan, so.
Yeah, it's just that circle that doesn't exist, but it's a line on a drawing that we have to deal with.
Well, we have those. They're called, in some respects, paper streets or portions of paper streets, and they're there for a reason. Usually that when a development was created, have that access way for the benefit of the, you know, the community as a whole, so that if someone's coming down your street, they have a place to adequately turn around.
Mm-hmm.
So they're there for a reason. They're not your property, even though you may, you know, kind of have been using it that way, or maybe somebody's been using it in that fashion. Even though the actual cul-de-sac doesn't exist, the paper right away does. So, you know, that's what we have here. And I think I know, Mr. Mooney, you did indicate you wanted to speak to some of the opposition points. I think a lot of what I was reading in them was that the opposition was concerned about the ability to turn around on that roadway.
But they can't turn around now.
Hold on. If you look at that property line where that circle is, if you look at the middle of that half circle, the existing deck is right there.
It literally touches the deck that we have.
So they have no problems turning around now. And if I go back 15 feet from that, they'll have plenty more space in the front of there to turn around. It's almost like I'm giving them more space to turn around when it was all said and done.
Because all the parking will end up being under the house.
From that yellow line to the deck that's there? Yeah, not even. Maybe 3 feet.
It might actually be on top of it.
It's very, I mean, if you look, that's a deck right where that yellow line is. And... You know, obviously we're going to raise the house and structure something, but if I go 16 feet back from that yellow line, it's pushing the structure back this way. follow me? So there potentially is more of a turnaround opportunity, and our mailbox is where the one of the four is,
Right. Basically.
So what happened? The mailman's no problem because he's in a truck. The trash people back up anyway, and they've been doing that for 15 years since I've been here, or down on this location. So just
so I'm clear here, Mr. Sharp, maybe I'll word this the wrong way, I don't know. So that's a picture of your house that's there now,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
So what variance would you, what would you need now for what's there?
We don't know because we don't have a site plan showing what's there now.
Is the house moving back from your current location now?
The new structure?
The new structure
would be 15 feet back off of that circle under this proposal. So we'd be shifting the whole front of that house 15 feet back.
Right.
On a north-south trajectory.
It'll be in line with the neighbor, the 110 house.
Yeah, wherever that
it'll
110
be
house
in
is,
straight,
I'm going straight down
straight
there.
Down, like everyone
so
else's,
jetting out in front of them.
Like everyone else's house is on the street. If we have to go 30 feet from that cul-de-sac line, we'll be set back.
Sure.
It will be 15
more
feet.
Do you have a homeowners association down there?
No.
You don't
And I apologize. Somebody had a, was it Mr. Sharp had a question? Or?
Well, I'm sure I defer to the board for their questions first.
Okay.
I just wanted to touch on that point about the cul-de-sac.
Okay.
Before we got too far.
What all structures are currently on the property?
So there's a...
We used to call it the habit trail.
So the gentleman before us, there's a trailer, mobile home, underneath the northern part A-frame house. And my understanding is he bought this in 91, took the trailer where the other section going this way on that big canal, moved it this way, and then put A-frame over it, and he kept it as a trailer so we had lower taxes, right? So when we did the deal, we had to go into financing, did all the due diligence, TD Bank couldn't finance because it was a mobile home.
But you don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm just
saying. The structure this way is stick-built on the front of what was the trailer.
If that makes sense.
See, every year he just kept building onto it.
And then we put a 12 or 10 by 12 shed where that 130S is.
Yeah, that's one thing that's not there.
Do you have proposed dimensions on the sun deck in the pool? I see the pool's 40 by 20.
Yeah, it's not going to be that big.
It's not going to be that big. I mean, this is, again, we wanted to get a proposed footprint for the approval. And I don't know if you know, going through the expense of drawing up a house over time and then coming for a variance and I get rejected, then I got to go back to the drawing board. So
but
I asked
Jennifer, you had asked
that's
me in
scale.
An email
so
if
that
it
would
was
be...
to scale, and it is.
So
but
the final,
the
final
are.
House structure in that pool, in fact, I've already looked at it. I'm going to turn the pool east-west, not north-south. You follow me? Like this. So, but this was a proposed footprint to say if I can get this variance, then we'll draw and obviously go through the permitting process from there.
He just drew to use up all the you know legit space with the setbacks from the sides.
It's going to be 40 by 20.
No, it's going to be smaller than that. We don't need it that big. Well, I guess you figure out the property is 100 feet across, and we have to do 10 feet on each side, right?
So the spread's going to
be
75, 80 feet.
That's Sunday, 75, 80 feet.
Well, it's going to span the back of the house if we build out to as far out as we are allowed to with the 10-foot setbacks.
What I'm getting at is, can you make that pool smaller? Can you make that sun deck smaller? Can you move the house back?
We'd have to cantilever the pool over the canal.
Yeah, so, yeah,
and
no,
I'm
then,
sure our neighbors would have more of a problem with that.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm
yeah, so, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, so what'll happen is on this, I'm sorry, sir.
Oh,
on the drawing here, if you, from that cul-de-sac yellow line, if you go backwards, that'll be in the middle of the house and then 10 feet this way. That's part of the house. I mean, I guess I could put a pool on that lot and that's it, but I had more of an envision. I have grandkids, I have other children that we, you know, would celebrate things down here. So I was trying to get it to
have some more bedrooms.
Like I was trying to get it to a square and then putting that, the property, putting the 15 foot straight up and down with that, where that 110 house is, it would be in that line.
Okay.
But if I can't do that, then I gotta push that side of the house back significantly.
I think part of the problem, at least that I'm having, and I suspect the board may have as well, is we don't typically deal in hypotheticals. We deal with plans that come before us that we can review from a concrete perspective. And one of the things that you have to demonstrate, this is an absolute requirement when you come before this board, is you have to demonstrate it is the minimum variance to afford relief. So we've got a building envelope here, and I do see that the rear portion of your lot is in a lagoon, which appears from the subdivision plan consistent with every other lot on that street. Everybody's
on that canal, yes.
Everybody's got 40 feet of the rear envelope. And then you've got approximately 112 feet from the front corner, the front northern corner of your lot. So that's kind of your land area, less this cul-de-sac protrusion, which is, as you indicated, about 15 feet. But what we have here is we don't have a copy of a survey showing exactly what's on there now. And we don't have a copy of a site plan showing what is really proposed. You indicated it's going to be different than what you showed.
No.
It might not be. But I didn't know if I was supposed to submit it. I apologize. This is the survey we got when we bought.
But I guess maybe what you are saying is this drawing, which is to scale, is where we want to be able to put the house. This far forward on the lot, this far back on the lot, and this wide. Like my husband said, we have children, so we kind of wanted like our side, their side kind of thing. And so it will be this big. It might not look exact. It might go straight across. It might, but if we don't get the variance, then this side of the property towards the water,
it shrinks dramatically.
It will be, I mean, it'll be
shrinks dramatically when you're going
a lot smaller than the other side of
that's
the
all.
Property, the house.
And if again, if you just had
for aesthetics,
10 lines straight down from the northern part straight down to the southern part, and then this variance with the 15-foot setback from that cul-de-sac would be like within the 30-foot normal setback.
Well,
and that's all I'm trying
a
to.
Question
yeah,
I have,
sure.
And I know we have a drafter here, draftsman here, that I'm sure will likely look at this with closer eyes than mine. But this just would help me at least. The drawing that we have here, this one, this is not the one you just sent. This is
yep,
the one
that's true. Yeah, Mr. Hayes did that for us, yes.
If you look on the northern end of that,
which way is north?
Looks like it kind of is built to kind of the cul-de-sac. But what you've indicated is you're not going to build it to a cul-de-sac. You would be building where it would be, am I understanding this right? 15 feet from the peak of the cul-de-sac, and it would be a straight line from there? Because this would indicate if you went to the front northern corner and you just took that line straight across, you're going to be closer than 15 feet.
Is he talking about this line? This line?
Yeah, he's talking, like, if we go from here. Here, I think when you look at the northern part, where that's the other driveway.
Uh-huh.
That's where there's a, I guess, a PO something there. You go back. So that's what I'm saying, that the proposal is that be less than 50, or no, further 15 feet from that round piece, because that round piece on the northern part hits the other lot too. You follow me? So there used to be two lots here, if you can envision where it's cut in half. So that if I didn't have it there too, and if I build there, it would be against, not within code, if I didn't get this 15-foot setback. So what I'm trying to say is, if we, again, if we just had a straight line from where that other, the northern part driveway is on the other side of the lot, I think that if I'd say, okay, I'm 30 feet back from there, and then go straight down. But if I go
and we'll
straight
still be
down,
30 feet back.
I'll be within 15 feet of that circle down on the other lot, and ultimately, if it was a straight line, I'd be in 30 feet of the whole lot if it was a regular shaped lot. That's all I'm trying to look for. I don't want to go 15 feet into that straight line on the northern part lot. I'm okay with that. I just wanted to be able to go 15 feet from the cul-de-sac.
Okay.
Because
based on your drawing, that kind of the peak of that cul-de-sac would appear to be at the steps off your porch, off that drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you line.
Straight there, and then, yeah.
That's what you're looking at. Is that about right?
Yeah, I'm, because that little, the little jut out there on this drawing, yeah.
Jut out would appear to be, if you ran it from that, it'd be much closer.
Yeah, no, I mean, if this is on the line, we just go straight, I'm okay with that, right?
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sure the board's got some questions, but I was trying to understand that drawing.
No, I appreciate it, thank you.
The home as it sits now.
Yeah.
I would say that was not created by you, it was the person who built it for you. And all that comes with it. You tear that down, and you're going to let that build new, that is being created by you. Can you explain how number three is not created by the applicant? Can you explain to me how, I understand the issues.
Okay.
Can you explain to me how you're tearing this down and having an open slate now, as big or small as it is, that's what it is. But how you needing a variance is not created by you. And tearing down this building and having an open slate.
So when I was looking at this, I was putting in perspective, I didn't create, I mean, the line is what it is, and I was like, I didn't create the line, I guess, and I apologize that I should have said yes, by proposing this, I'm tearing the building down. All due respect to the prior, it's a tear down, and we just couldn't afford it for the last 4 years, right? So, I mean, so yes, by asking you for this relief, given this hardship of the structure of the lot, 50 feet in the water, I'm asking for a little relief to get a structure in there that would look aesthetically pleasing and not impact anybody in any negative way. I mean, I'm not looking for it like next to the street, not having parking, not, you know, I'm just trying to just
make it. We're not trying to get closer to the actual street.
Yeah, I just wanted to, if I had a square structure, it would be, if I don't get the variance, then I have to go back and say, okay, it'll be a short thing on this thing, and then it'll be L. And I, you know, again, I'm. It is what it is. You guys, I appreciate your time. You know, so. Okay. Okay.
What, you want to see a drawing of what the house is actually going to look like? But it is going to look like that. Where those lines are, like where the pilings are going.
We're approving. We just can't approve, like Mr. Williamson said, a theory or an idea. We need to see exactly what we're approving.
Let me see if I can kind of explain my expectations as a board member. And as I alluded to, I'm addressing the same work as Greg. I don't expect, we don't expect a finalized set of plans to give a variance. But what we do expect is that you're designed well enough along that you at least know what the footprint or the outside shape of the house is going to be and can put it on a survey so we know pretty close to exactly what we're approving. I don't care how many windows are in your house or anything like that, but the shape of the house and how it fits on that lot.
Yeah, I think, well, we did consult with Greg about that because Ms. Norwood emailed and that's why he submitted, and he actually had, you know, back and forth with Ms. Norwood about that, yeah, this is drawn to scale and no, there are no windows and all, but so I guess I don't understand. If the house is going to look like this, it might be tweaked slightly with the size of the pool, but the deck is going to run the full back of the house. The swimming pool might get a little bit smaller, but where the pilings go are going to be where the pilings would go on this drawing. Does that make sense?
That sounds a little different than what you were telling me earlier, quite frankly.
It does?
Yes.
Oh,
It was drawn
to scale with where we want to put the house.
Don't interrupt me.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
I was under the impression that you wanted us to give you a variance so that you could figure out how you design your house.
No, we've met with Greg a couple of times. This would be the footprint of the house. The size of the pool might change. Not the size of the house or the size of the deck.
I apologize for the misunderstanding. I was going at it like, okay, Greg, before I invest a lot of time with this 15-foot setback in mind, let's see if I can go with an actual two-scale looking down, not telling you how many windows or, you know, bathrooms and everything else, to say if we get, then we can start to building it and designing, I mean.
Design the actual house.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah, he said we would be fine with this, because this is.
Yeah, no, I mean, if there's.
This is where the house, if you approve the setback, this is where the house will be built. The steps are going to go like that, there's going to be a deck off the back. The pool is the only thing that I'm just not sure how big the pool needs to be.
In that case, one of the things I would like to see on the survey is, I don't necessarily mind that it's handwritten so much as we don't have the dimensions. We need to know exactly what these variances are going to be from each point to your setback, and that's kind of hard to determine from this, what we provide this with.
So you mean, like, you need to know if this wall is 30 feet or 40 feet, like that?
Well, typically when we have a professional site plan done, usually it's done with a computer program. Not that it has to be, but usually it's done with a computer program, and we've got all of those dimensions already on the site plan, so we already know exactly what we're dealing with.
Okay.
So then we should just go back to him and ask him if he can put dimensions on this?
Yeah, Matt, I guess the question is, what specifically outside of a blueprint, full-blown blueprints, are you guys looking for? I mean, and I'm happy to provide that.
A more complete professional site plan.
So a site plan.
A professional site plan. Okay.
What the footprint of your house is going to be with dimensions showing us, you know, what exactly the variances are going to be for each spot to your house.
Okay.
For variances, we're approving for each spot around. I mean, you've got several corners on this house.
But I think two are going to be within the other setbacks, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Not the way it's not.
Right here. This little jet out is an issue. Okay.
Oh, that is so?
Okay.
How long do you think it would take you to get that done?
For Greg? We'll call him tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll call him tomorrow, and I think he could do it in a day. If not, I mean, he's really good.
I mean, he's.
Yeah, no, I don't know how busy he is.
He's been helpful.
But he's been very responsive on my email and back and forth with him.
Sure.
So yes, I and again.
So what would be, then what is the process? Do we have to wait until next month, or what? How does that work?
Well, I think we probably have some other questions to ask, too, just about the property and some other things before we get to that point.
Okay.
But the process there is typically, if the board was inclined to leave the record open, it would be left open for a period of time.
Okay.
For that to be submitted to the board, that's it.
Okay.
The board could review it and decide maybe we should.
Okay. Yeah, apologies. He told us that this should be fine. So, it's our first time doing this.
So. Mr. Ward, do you want to zoom out just a little bit because I can see the rest of the street, at least a few houses? Yeah.
Are there any variances on that street?
In the packet that you gave me, Ms. Norwood, I don't see any. There appears to be a variance on a couple streets over, a couple streets after that.
Is the overlay, I would say it's pretty accurate as far as how they manage. I mean, let's say there's just an extremely large amount of room between the property line and the pavement on that side of the road.
I would caution you, Mr. Hastings, that map doesn't appear to be.
Right, because I know sometimes it needs to.
Yeah, they are a little off. And just by looking at that, if it looked off, it looked like it might be off towards the other side.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that was the case, though, then that would sort of be contradictory of the property line going to the lagoon, right?
Well, the property line in the lagoon.
Is it on that?
I mean, that shows on the on the subdivision plan.
It's difficult with.
Yeah. But I will note for the board's benefit, the survey that was provided does reference where the edge of gravel is, which I presume is where the paved part of Pine Needle Road is.
It's stone. There's no gravel. There's no blacktop back there.
Okay. Yeah, it just says edge of gravel.
Yeah, it's just a rock.
It would appear that there's a gap
between your front property line and...
Yeah, yeah.
That would be...
And I'm telling you, it's consistent. If you look all the way up, every neighbor, their driveway next to us is in the street. And I don't know if it, whatever happened, but if you go up and down that line, those are those people's driveways that's part of the street.
Well, if, I mean, if...
I don't know how that works.
If we're going to leave it open and everything, that might be a good, useful measurement to have.
You mean to tell Greg Hastings, like, say, here, do it from here, because that's...
Well, at least just have that information.
Okay.
From where you're paving to where your house is now.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, yeah.
Any other questions?
Mr. Sharp? Just more about the lot itself. I see you've got a lagoon in the rear, and I see a notation on Mr. Hastings' drawing that says need to maintain 10 feet from bulkhead due to supports. Is that accurate?
So the pool that we've talked about is going to be in the air. So those kind of supports need to be extra duty or something, and I'm not an engineer. So that's the only thing I can think he's referencing. I can ask him.
Have you ever had flooding on the side or the rear? I see your side are also is adjacent to water.
Yes.
Okay, where is that flooding?
So
circles the whole property.
Which storm? I mean, in all seriousness, it comes up to the steps. If you look in the middle of that, the southern part, see there's steps right here? I mean, it's been underneath the house. It's never breached.
It's never come in the house.
So it's never come underneath the house. It's probably three courses of cinder block on that one structure, and it's never come up underneath that from Sandy to that. We had a bad nor'easter within the fall. It was pretty bad.
So when I look at your survey that you gave us, it shows everything. Mm-hmm. And I apologize for it. I've got it here. But it shows a covered porch, and then there's some steps on the creek side. And is that where you're talking to come up to that point?
So that's the last step. Never breached the first step.
Okay, but on the creek side, that's...
You're talking the main canal, that's the creek? The part that's at the bottom?
Yes.
It goes out to the bay, yes.
And on the rear side, you've got a bulkhead. Has it ever breached the bulkhead?
Yes.
And how far did it come after breaching?
Comes up to the steps in the backyard.
Over the steps in the back where the 109 is. Never been in that side of the house either on the floor. Where the 130S is the shed, like I was telling you, and that's on
a foot, the northern,
probably a foot of that, and it's never been in the bottom of the shed.
Right.
But because it does get water back there, and it does get water on
but
the...
But it doesn't flood any of the structures.
It doesn't flood the structure. It hasn't.
I believe your testimony was that you believe this will improve parking because vehicles will be able to park under the proposed
homes.
So you won't have people parking in the cul-de-sac.
We never have people parking in the cul-de-sac.
I mean, we park in the grass there, so I mean, that it's part of the cul-de-sac by the lot line, but they park in the grass there when there's excess cars. So.
Okay, I don't think I have any questions at this time. Thank you.
I have one other comment I want to make about this thing. It looks like the site plan that you submitted, they took a survey from a surveyor and then he hand sketched on where your stuff is gonna go. But it looks like somebody covered over the name and seal of the surveyor who created that original survey on the site plan.
Oh, I maybe Greg did that, I don't know. I just...
Okay. Well, I'm uncomfortable with that.
That's fine.
We need to see whose work is who and who's responsible for
it. Okay.
Now, I need to be able to tell the difference.
Fair enough.
Greg do versus what is the surveyor doing? Who is the surveyor?
Okay. The survey should be on that. I apologize not sending it in the initial package. The one I just gave should be there.
The survey that we have is from Foresight Services.
Yeah, Foresight.
That should be different than the site plan. Is it different?
It's the same date.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It appears to be the same. The bottom part is missing. It looks like it's a Timothy, and I can't tell the last name. I could send this down if you'd like to look at it.
I just think because they're copies. I don't know anybody did it intentionally.
You might be able to provide a better survey by going back to Foresight, just a suggestion.
Just to get original?
Typically do
plans. So go to Foresight and say, here's what I'm looking to do, and they could come up with
have your draftsman provide the footprint of the house and all that information two foresights, if they've already done the survey, they've already got it on file.
I think that's a good comment.
And ask them to produce a site plan for you.
All right.
Is that better?
It would be a more professional, official site plan.
Okay.
Just having Greg sketch something on their survey.
All right, noted, yep.
Any other questions?
I just have a comment. It kind of looks like you started with a pool, moved everything out. Just a thought.
No.
The proposed pool, when the pool is going to be smaller, it needs to reflect that on this. And the sun deck, you know, we would like to know what size it is.
We'll have them put dimensions.
Because I would want to know that you had made some changes to lessen this variance if you had an opportunity to.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think.
No, we're good.
That it will, but.
Yep.
Anything else? Does that conclude your presentation?
Unless you have any more questions.
You can have a seat.
Can we have those papers back there that we gave you?
They've been submitted.
That's fine.
Oh, we have more then, okay.
I wanted to call the office.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, while we, okay, thanks.
Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Can come forward and be sworn in. Good evening, Mr. Sharp will swear you in.
All right, thank you, hi.
Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Jody McLaughlin, and my address is 30317 Pine Needle Drive, next door to the Moonies.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And you indicated next door. Could you just show us where
yes.
next door?
Where it says 110, that's our property.
Okay, thank you.
And with all due respect to the Moonies, because we haven't really had conversations with them, I've prepared something based on the 15-foot variance request. And I'm thinking maybe I should just go ahead and offer it because it might shed some light on a lot of things. And also I brought in some handouts for you to look at of some of the site maps and so forth from when it was developed to maybe explain the cul-de-sac and that sort of thing.
You can submit that to Ms. Norwood.
And I don't know if it would help you as well if you've seen the survey that the applicant submitted or what's existing. Have
mm-hmm.
you seen that?
Yes.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So I'm actually, my husband, Rick Franco, is here with me. So again, I mentioned that we are directly next door to the Moonies. And the first thing that I also want to point out, which you have, is the tax maps, the lines are extremely incorrect. And so that has quite a bit of bearing on where the cul-de-sac should be and all of that. So I did submit letters, and the reason I'm here with more to say is because I've learned a lot. I was told that I needed to submit the letter by January 13th, and then after that, I did a little bit more research. I didn't know that there was this 5 criteria for a variance that I should be that I should have a statement for. And also, Josh, yesterday, my husband, Rick, spoke with the Moonies concerning the proposal. And at that time is when I realized, and we became very confused, that they thought that instead of owning one larger lot, that they actually owned two separate properties with differing setback needs. And that's actually not accurate. The gentleman that sold to them's name is Bob Haberly. He wanted to subdivide, but at some point I don't believe he was able to formally do so. I actually have a letter that from September 13th, 1968, which actually explains why that lot was not going to be two lots, why it needed to just be one. And my family has a long history on Pine Needle Drive, and actually right back to the beginning in 1968. And this is the original Wilgus letter explaining that. what I'm here to say today is that we actually would object to anything other than a 30-foot setback from the front property line at our southwest corner. And the handouts that I'm giving you and what I sent in earlier will refer to my comments. So referring to criteria number one, to the uniqueness of the property, most 50-foot and 100-foot lots on our road have rear property water amenity. The Moonies had mentioned that they thought that they were restricted and they might have to build out into the water. But of course, we know that DENREC has all rights to the water. We get to enjoy it. But we really should know this, as we're required to get permits for docks and float docks. Also, the Moonies property is not unique to the Pinecrest Terrace community, as other lots at the corners of the lagoons and main channel are laid out similarly with turnarounds intended. When somebody buys a property, they usually would do the research on the tax maps, and they would have surveys done. So there really shouldn't be any surprises, and especially since the Moonies didn't own Lot 21, which is up the road a few years ago. So to criteria number two, cannot otherwise be developed. But with a height limit of 42 feet and standard setbacks, all the stick-built and modular homes on our road have already an average or above average square footage, and they do have relatively small footprints because they're all two- and three-story homes, and all but one of those is on a 50-foot lot. And we have to be realistic because the lot design was intended for mobile homes. So while the Moonies proposed drawing is confusing, we do think that they could find a good architect and could design an adequately large home adhering to the standard setbacks. For example, with standard setbacks, if you look at our home, I'm pretty sure that our home, which is 24 feet across by 50 feet, could actually be placed along their north property line with even an extension along the east of their property, and there'd still probably be room for a decent-sized pool along the creek line. And they have expansive water frontage with three docks, two jet ski ramps, and a boat ramp. They will always have unobstructed views of the water and marsh, no matter how they situate their home. Number three criteria, that such exceptional practical difficulty has not been created. And as I just mentioned, we just don't believe there is a situation for the Moonies. They could build a nice home on their lot while still adhering to the standard setbacks. We see homes with extra amenities going up on similar size and shaped lots all around the area that was once mobile home lots. And criteria number four will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. This is actually our main reason that we're here tonight and why we're objecting to a front yard variance. Code 115-182 refers to the setback being the average to those on the same side of the street, and actually that average is 30 feet. Setbacks are intended for residential amenities, such as uniform appearance, vehicular access, privacy, visual access, natural lighting, and sound insulation. Any setback other than 30 feet next to us denies us those amenities. We do not wish to feel boxed in or lose southwest light to our great room. We feel as immediate next-door neighbors, and we don't own properties down the street or across the waterway. We're right next door. We feel that we are singularly affected. In addition, we are the only full-time residents, and since we work regular weekday hours, we depend on nighttime quiet. A pool on a lot that floods regularly in an environmentally sensitive area and where sound is magnified is a big concern. Increase in light pollution and noise late into the night can affect many homeowners. And we actually have had quite a bit of issue with congestion at the dead end of the road, with a lot of people parking there and also blocking our driveway and our mailbox. We are also under the impression, and I may be incorrect, that there's really no way yet to know if a pool would be approved. And our understanding from the neighbors was that the biggest issue was that they did want to be able to put a pool in, and that's why they wanted to bring the house a little bit more forward. I think the Moonies' proposed design shows an extension on the home's northwest corner. I highlighted that on one of the handouts. And on that northwest corner, that could potentially be extended even farther to the 15-foot frontage. This is just a design, and we have no guarantees, should they receive the variance, that they will not utilize that entire space, creating a loss of natural light, privacy, and even changing the airflow along our southwest corner. We don't even know where the property line arcs across their yard. So a home jutting forward is totally out of character on our road. So for number five, a minimum variance, this evening's issue really is that front yard setback. We feel they do not need a variance. The Mooney's back property line is not unique, and their front property line was intended for the good of the neighborhood. Setbacks enhance the neighborhood, and they should create value for all. We feel a variance for the Mooney's has the ability to take value from us. Property value is not just monetary, but it's the worth in things such as a personal space and privacy, adequate parking for visitors and residents, safety, respect, simple residential amenities such as views of wildlife, greenery, and clean waterways. And your decision can determine if we can continue to enjoy the home we designed 12 years ago, adhering to, and we designed that home adhering to the setbacks. So thank you very much for letting me speak. It is just under 3,000 square feet.
And is it on pilings?
It is not on pilings. At the time that we built, which was in 2010, we were told at that time, I think it was incorrect, but we were told that we couldn't go on pilings because it's 404 wetlands. And honestly, at that time, nobody on the street had used pilings. Everyone had put, we had gone up to, we're above the 100 flood line. Two courses of cement on our foundation.
Do you have flooding issues?
Absolutely. The floods can come all the way. There's a boat ramp, so it comes up the boat ramp, but I believe it would come up anyways. It starts actually on where 108, 109 is, and our lot, 107 and 106, and it starts to come up that way. And many times it comes all the way up the road, so much so that we have to move our cars to a community across the way. If we have on muck boots and we walk back to our house, the water goes in the muck boots. The water's really coming up. We have, even just on regular storms now, it comes up. Yeah. There's what I want to point out is where the yellow line is and where our actual corner where the pipe is to mark. If you look where the yellow line is and then you look to the left of it, it looks like there's some vegetation just at the right side of that vegetation. So our fence line is slightly off. Our fence line is just slightly forward. But that yellow line is really set back too far. And that's where our issue is because the way our house is situated, if the Moonies could just keep to the 30 foot, the problem is you have to start measuring off of that arc and back 30 feet, and I understand that. That's their problem. And so they have 33.89 feet from our corner back to before that arc starts, that by that drawing, if they want to, an architect, because they'll still have, with a 15-foot setback, they can use that and have a wing come straight out. And that would be right out onto the southwest corner where and the way I designed the windows and light, especially in the winter, and since we're here all the time, we really rely on that. That's the room that we spend all our time in, and if our driveway gets iced over, that sun helps to melt that. And as my husband told them yesterday, we just really want to make sure that their line is all the way back 30 feet, like everyone else's is.
So when you say back 30 feet, are you meaning from the crown of the cul-de-sac or from the in line with the 30-foot property?
Well, I don't really know. I didn't know that you guys could do anything other than a standard and measuring of that. It was my understanding when I talked to contractors or people that they said that so the first 33.89 feet is a straightaway. So let's say you measure back 15 feet from that, and I have it kind of marked. I'm sorry, my printer isn't really good, but so then as it starts the arc, it was my understanding and from their drawing too that you would have to, and I have no idea how to do that, but that it has to wind all the way around it because that is the property line. Even though the cul-de-sac, which was there when I was a little girl, I don't know. I know the Moonies, they did not take it away. I don't know if the gentleman before them took it away, but he was the one that had the stick built. I don't know. I do know who built that. So I don't know if he got a variance for that. I don't know how that house is where it is. But that whole circle is back a little ways. It really should be, everything should be shifted over. And if you look at the top of the yellow line, there is like a white spot. That is their property. So our property is right, we have white stone, so you kind of can really see where our property comes back on the side. And if you look at the top of our property, you can see how far off it is, because, you know, there's much more of our property to the top of that. And this is kind of a really old photo, because we already had someone build on the other side of us, and they are set back. They just built their set back 30 feet.
And just as if you went 30 feet from the crown of the cul-de-sac, to me it feels like it's going to be unique and set back even farther, and sort of not in line with the rest of the house.
Right. Well, in 108, which is across from them, that house is set back 30 feet off of the circle. I've had conversations with Mr. Carosi about that. And he said when he built, he knew that that's where the line was, and he would have liked to have not built that far back, but that he did follow the 30 foot. My only problem is, and my question is for you, and what I would hope for with the Moonies, is that if you don't have to abide by that arc, we just don't want that the house, I don't even really know how to explain it, we just really want to make sure that that house is not able to come forward of the 30-foot line of where our house is. And I don't see any reason why, let's pretend there was two lots, which there really never was, but let's pretend there was two lots, and you halved it, 50 feet still goes into that arc. So that's what I'm asking is don't you have to measure off of that arc?
So if here's the thing. The front property line there that they have is parallel with Pine Needle. It's 30 feet back from there. And then the curvature is 30 feet back from the curvature. So think of their front property line as
mm-hmm.
this.
Right.
30 feet back from in that same line.
Right.
Where that's their
absolutely.
Line. Now, I think what I was hearing from you is that your biggest concern is that at the closest point of that, which would be likely the southwest or the northeast corner, or maybe the other corner, because both of those appear to be
mm-hmm.
have a property line comes closer.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that they have to be at least 30 feet back from that point. You don't want them any closer than 30 feet, but your preference is that they would have 30 feet back from the arc as well. Am I understanding that right?
I don't really want to put them, you know, I want them to be able to build a beautiful home. That's just going to benefit all of us. I just didn't think that, I thought that you had to follow, I figured on a setback, it has to go along that entire line. So I didn't think that you could divide it somehow.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why this board prefers the site plans.
Mm-hmm.
Because we will be able to pin where the home is and what variances are. So let's say, for instance, that they wanted to be 30 feet back from Pine Needle Road the
mm-hmm.
whole way.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that cul-de-sac sticking out, there's a part that's going to be closer. But the house may be completely parallel with yours, using this as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There would be different pins. So they may not need a variance over here, but they would need one on the pin, and it might be a little different at different points.
Okay.
So that's why the board prefers to have a site plan showing exactly
right.
where it is,
right.
because we can pin it and make sure the variances are there.
Yeah, I would like that too, because I don't know. I have no idea what they're going to do. That drawing didn't really, and I circle it. If you saw the one that I gave you, which is theirs, where that yellow circle is, that's where I don't see how, if a designer wants to, he could just keep going out further. I could say it's just, you know, that's 33.89 feet. So if you go back 15 feet of that, and then he has that amount to work with. Depending, though, on what you're talking now about these points, maybe that would keep it him not able to do that. But I just, that's what makes me nervous, and that's what I'm objecting to. Is that, it's just that section.
So if it was parallel with, and in line with the rest of the houses, you would be?
I'd be thrilled. Yeah. I'd be happy for them. And but I am, it is an issue with the parking. Now, I like to hear that there'll be under street, under their home parking, because I'm telling you, it's actually kind of dangerous. There are some times when you can barely get one car in between the way that people park all the way down. And it's not just them. I mean, it's everybody. You know, in the summer, it just explodes.
I believe they said that earlier. We'll have them back up.
Mm-hmm.
Confirm that.
Yeah.
They said it'd be under the house parking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have a huge driveway, and unfortunately, because it's so big, it became the turnaround. And it's completely cracked. It was cement. So we have orange cones up now, and so does the new owners on the other side of us. And, you know, Asplin, tree cutting, you know, anybody that comes down, they just see our yard, they see our beautiful big driveway, and we put it in there because we have a big house. We want to make sure that there's plenty of parking.
Mr. Sharp, do you have that existing survey?
I do. I was looking at it right now.
While that's going down this road, I did wonder, you mentioned that there's parking there, that there's others that use it. Is there a reason why others would be down there? Is there a, I saw there's a boat ramp on the site plan. Is that something that's publicly used?
No, the boat ramp is owned by the Moonies.
Okay.
I think they allow, you know, they let some of the neighbors use it. There's certainly, when they're not there, there are sometimes people that come and would like to use it, but luckily I think a lot of times there's a chain across there. It looks like it's for the community because of where it was placed. They didn't put it there.
Now, I will note this. On the survey of existing structures, it looks like the deck from their property now is about 3 feet more or less from that apex of the corner,
mm-hmm.
or the cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're proposing is that they would be at least 15 feet from that. So I just wanted to let you know that, because that's mm-hmm. what's showing as existing, so it would be pushing it back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any further questions? Does that conclude your presentation now?
It does.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition to this case? Operator, is anyone on the line that would like to speak in reference to case 12783? For Michael and Robin Moody.
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. We have Amy on the line. Amy, your line is open.
I'm Amy Hollis, an employee with Suffolk County, calling in to test the line.
Thank you, Amy. We hear you loud and clear.
Thank you.
We have Maureen. Maureen, your line is open.
Hello, this is Maureen Edner, and I'm at 30315 Pine Needle Drive.
Maureen, this is James Sharp, the board's attorney. I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And Ms. Edner, you indicated that you live on Pine Needle Drive. I know that you're not physically present with us, but are you able to see, can you tell us where your property is in location to the subject property?
Yes, I am 2 blocks north.
So you would be on the other side of the McLaughlin's lot?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. The floor is yours.
Yes. And I just had a question and a comment. I just wanted to confirm, and I've identified from the plan to the part of the house, if any part of the proposed house is within the 30-foot setback of a regular street. And if yes, how many feet? It looks like it may be 27 feet. So that was my question. And my own comment is, we signed that we are in favor of a variance for the moon. However, we do want to comment that we want the setback be within 30 feet from the regular street from the northwestern corner of the property. Who is here to call the setback? We and the rest of the neighbors have complied with.
Ms. Edner, this is James Sharp again. Just to confirm, you are in support of the application provided that the structures are no closer than 30 feet from the northwest corner of the lot if you were to extend Pine Needle Drive parallel rather than having that cul-de-sac. Is that a fair assessment of what your testimony is?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. and Mrs. Reed. Oh, thank you. Mr. and Mrs. Reed, would you like to come forward and answer that question or rebut any of the testimony?
Yes, sure, absolutely.
So I think we're in agreement with the neighbors. That's all we really want is, again, where we started here, to be 30 feet from, I'm not good at directions, but everyone's calling that the northwest corner is where Jody's house is, right? So the structure will be in line with Jody's house and with Maureen's house and the rest of the houses on the street. It's just that curvy line that's throwing us off and the drawing that we had, it has those little step backs, just sort of taking that into effect in case, you know, you don't get that variance. In regard to Jody's comment about the cars, Jody, they are not our cars.
Yeah.
Oh. They are not our cars. We have never, the part about the ramp is true. When we first moved there, we did let other neighbors use it, and we took, the previous owner had a chain across, and we kind of thought that was mean, not very neighborly, so we took the chain down. And we would let people use it. But in the last year or so, we put the chain back up because some people were taking advantage. But people that bring their back their cars down there, drop their boat, and go.
And it's a liability, right?
Yeah. That's why something happens. So the chain is back up. The chain is back up. And people only use it when we're there and, you know, when we say yes. But the cars in the, that's from the people across the street from us who did not build their house up without a, Jody referred to them, the Carozzi's are 108. They have a lot of children and grandchildren. It's their cars that are in the street. All of our people, we have two driveways and a yard. And we will continue to be neighborly like that and not have our people park on the street.
And the proposal will be on stilts. I mean,
right. We don't have that problem now, and we definitely won't have that problem going forward.
And I guess, can I ask if we have the opportunity, you guys, to continue this or whatever that terminology is, as they go back to foresight and say, here, do that 30 foot from the northwest corner straight down and put a structure there that's like with the measurements to say that's what we want to build. I'm okay with staying with the 30 foot setback on the normal lot.
All the way across.
Is that
a possibility for you guys to say? Because I understand Jody's concern.
Yeah, no,
and I mean, we wouldn't do what she was thinking we could, but I understand that, you know, that you can't operate like that. But can you, as a board, say, okay, you're going to be 30 feet from this, but you can be 15 feet from the curvy part?
And we actually, in fact, talked to Rick, her husband, yesterday, explained to him, and he...
That was our intention.
That was our intention. He's like, oh, then we're good. So, again, if we can get that in more solidified form for you all to look at and say, okay, we can stamp this and move on, if that makes sense, I am more than happy to get on that right now.
Because we don't want to push our house in front of theirs either. Yeah. We want it to look nice.
Any other questions? Thank you.
All right, thank you.
At this time, I will close the public hearing for case 12783.
One caller.
Say that again.
We have another caller.
Okay.
Call, your line is open.
Hey. Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can. This is James Sharp, the board's attorney. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Okay, I'm having difficulty hearing you on my line, so I'll do the best I can. My name is Marcia Thomas. I live at 322 North Orlando Avenue in Ocean View. However, my husband and I are the owners of Lot 11, which is address 30318 Pine Needle Drive in Pine Tree Care.
Okay.
The loonies that are requesting
Ms.
variance,
Ms.
neighbors
Ms.
that are
excuse me,
across the street from us.
Ma'am.
And
ma'am.
Is across the street directly in front of us. Just
ma'am.
To give you an idea of where we are. Can I continue?
Ma'am, can you hear me?
Me? Barely.
Please stand by.
Thank you.